All right, let's have all the choir come over here. The choir will start the service here in about 2 minutes.
Found that true in your life? Well, we're going to switch gears a little here. Number 224, we don't sing a lot, but we're going to stand and sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Number 224, let's stand as we sing. We'll sing all four stanzas. Number 224, everybody take a hymnal. Join us as we sing. sing out now.
Holy, holy,
sing out. If you can sing parts, sing out. Together.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy,
hadn't sung that in a long time, but that is a great song. I mean, that describes God to a T, because David said, "Thou art holy, O Lord, to be seen in heaven and in earth." So thank God for Him being holy. Good to see you in the service today. A beautiful Lord's Day. I don't even think it's 80 degrees outside yet, or might be right at it. So it's pretty nice compared to what we've been having. But we're so glad to have you here. Good to have Frederick back with us. He was here at Easter time. Lives right here close by, and then good to have Travis and his family. Madison's here from school, getting ready to start her junior year at Winthrop. And then Zarius. Last time I saw Zarius, he's about half that tall. Now he used to have to look up to me, now I got to look up to him. And he's 17 years old, so he'll be around a while, so I want him to be my friend. Amen, when I get like that. Travis, we're glad to have then Brother Stingo and his family. It's good to see all of you here today. God bless you for coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll ask His blessing on the service. And then the choir, you can be seated after we say amen. And then the choir will sing another number. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's pray. Father, we love You. And what a great joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And Father, we're so grateful for the privilege to be here. But now, Lord, that we're here, may we remember the words of that song. Holy, 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 Thou art. And Father, help us to understand that really we're nothing. That without You, we would be worse than nothing. We'd be unsaved nothings. But I'm glad, Father, that John said, I must decrease and He must increase. So help us, Lord, to back away from ourselves and not come to church thinking that it can't be done without us. May we understand that worshiping God and giving Him His place is what will give us worship today. I pray for the choir as they sing. I pray for the special, then the preaching of the Word of God. And speak to hearts here this morning. God will be careful to thank You and praise You for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The choir will sing another song.
I could tell of the story when thousands were fed, when He lifted the sick, when He raised up the dead. I can sing of the others like the blind made to see. But I'd rather tell you what's happened to me. Once I was lost, but now I am found in the book of life. My name's written down. Now I'm part of the family. I'm a child of the King. This is the story. This is my song to sing. You must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it alone. So trust in the Savior and He'll save you today. And with blessed assurance, you too can say,
your testimony as well. And you can be saved today before you leave. All right, we've got visitors. Some have been here for a while, so they're not really visitors, but let's stand. We're going to give you a chance to greet each other this morning. Give the choir a chance to come down. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and appreciate so much you all being here. And it's good to have everybody in the service today. We've got some folks out today, of course. Brother Ralph Hale and his wife are actually in Grundy, Virginia. They went to Kentucky for their yearly family reunion. I didn't realize it had come up so quick. It seemed like they just got back from it. But every time they go, they always go through Grundy, Virginia with Brother Dean Powers and are in service there this morning. Their plan was to drive back today, but I guess they're having some storms up there, Sherry said. So Sherry's told them not to try to drive through it if they don't have to. Of course, knowing Brother Ralph, he'll probably do it anyway. But anyhow, you pray for them while they're out there. Haley and Wyatt are both sick. Judy Branham's at home sick. So remember them in prayer if you would. Lois Denson, Brother Tim's sister's having surgery on August 3rd. Continue to pray for Tommy Wright and Edward Wright. Miss Morena, Clifford Tucker's been moved into a regular room, so he is recovering there in the hospital. He's been in there a month and really had a hard time of it, but I went to see him Friday. He was wide open. Now, he had the little thing in his throat. He had to plug it up so he could talk, but I'm telling you, he can talk, buddy. I guess he's been out for a while. He's making up for lost time. But I love Clifford. They call him Bubba. I don't know. I have a hard time calling a man that age older, you know, because I guess it's a respect thing. Just call him Bubba. I just call him Brother Clifford. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But anyhow, I love him dearly. He's such a good man. Of course, that's Claudette's brother. And so you pray for him while he's recovering there. Of course, continue to pray for Brother Sonny Branham. Judy Branham's at home sick. I don't know if I mentioned that. That's why she's not here today. And then Brother Steve Morris's surgery went great. Everything's good. Now, they won't know the biopsy part of all that and the cancer part of it for 7 to 10 days. It's been a couple of days, so it'll be another week or so. You know, they never tell you anything right off. But the surgery itself went good. He is at home, and he's kind of sore, as you would imagine, but he is recovering. Probably be out of the pulpit for 2 or 3 weeks. And so you remember Brother Steve Morris, and I do appreciate all of you that prayed. Ladies, thank you for your prayer chain that you did that day. And Debbie certainly was very appreciative of all of that. And we love Steve and Debbie. Of course, we go back a long way, Judy and I, with them. Brother Steve's a very dear friend of mine, and I'm glad that the surgery went good. All right, that door's not locked. We tried to come in, thought the door's locked. Help him out, Ed. All right. And let me just mention one thing myself, that two things that I've mentioned the other day. August, starting August, first Sunday in August, stewardship month. I wrote it down here, stewardship month. And so we're going to spend some time dealing with, out of Scripture, the idea of stewardship and giving and tithing and all that. You say, well, do I have to hear that? Well, if it's in the Bible, we got to preach it. And so I'm glad you're... Well, look here, brother. How you doing? That's the gentleman I met yesterday knocking on doors. Bill, it's Billy, right? Avi, I knew it had a Y on it somewhere. Come on in, buddy. We're knocking on doors yesterday in Miss. It was on Firebridge, I think. Is that the street you live on? Firebridge, that neighborhood. Anyway, I knew he lives in Sister Bobby's neighborhood, and we were knocking on doors out there. And we were kind of getting finished. I just had a couple left. And so I started to go up to a front door, and the garage door was open, but it was dark. And all of a sudden, I mean, scared the daylights out of me. He said, "Where are you going?" I mean, it scared the bejeebers out of me, man. And I turned around, and here's this garage, and he had a lattice there, and I didn't see him. I thought, man, who? I said, that couldn't have been the Lord. I said, he knows where I'm going. But anyway, I got a chance to meet Bobby, and what a blessing. And he's here today. I asked him, I said, you go to church? He said, I go to church everywhere. I said, well, you hadn't been to mine. He said, well, you had invited me. So I did. And here he is. And I'm glad you're here, sir. God bless your heart. I met another good family knocking on doors, the Kaufmans. They were going to try to come today. In fact, the man works at the VA and knows Joaquin. Maybe that's why he didn't come. I don't know. But no, it's not that, I promise. It's not that. Yeah, your wife told me. Don't worry. But anyway, and I was hoping they get to come there. They've moved here from Pennsylvania. Good. He's a retired military, and two of their kids are in the military. I have a very military family, and the wife works at All South Credit Union. But anyway, I was hoping they get to come, so maybe they'll come tonight. But Bobby, we're glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming. I tell you, it's a joy to my heart to have you here. And so I was mentioning Stewardship Month, and then Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Men, I wish you'd come and pray with us. We do prayer room at 9 o'clock. I wish you'd come with us, get in the room, just get in the back room here and pray for God's blessing and God's use of us.
We're really nothing without him, but it's always good to pray, and I hope you'll join us next Sunday for that. Then, of course, tomorrow, the youth will be headed to, is it Hopewell Camp? What's the name of the camp? Is it Hope? Is that the name of it? It's Hopewell Baptist Church, and so they're leaving in the morning about 7, I think. 8 o'clock. So they'll be leaving out to go to camp this week. So you pray for them while they travel. And then Joaquin and Steve and myself are leaving at 5 o'clock. We were here yesterday going to New York to help Brother Richard with some work on the church there. And they got everything there. They're all excited about us coming. And so and then I spoke to Sabina. I said, "Is you be all right without Joaquin this week?" "Oh, I'll be fine." And as I was walking off, she said, "Now, you know, he drives crazy." When I said something a minute ago, he done like that. I said, "Uh-oh." So, no. It's your car, but I might have to drive, brother. I drive crazy too, but I don't think as crazy as you do. Well, the only time you're going to amen is when I say something like that. Okay, I see. I got you. Okay. But anyway, we'll be leaving out at 5 in the morning. We were talking about it yesterday before we went visiting, and Steve's going with us, and he said, "Pastor, what time we leaving Monday?" I said, 5 o'clock. He said, 5 o'clock. And then he said, "That's cool." And me and Tim started laughing because I know he doesn't think that's cool. Yeah. Them eyeballs got big. But we're gonna try. It's about a 10 or 11 hour drive up there, so we want to get there early enough to beat some of that New York traffic. Although it's always traffic in New York, but we're gonna get up there and try to get situated, find out exactly what we need, so Tuesday morning we can start work early and get started. And gonna put some flooring in some of the parts of the church there, the back part of the church, the kitchen and all, and then over at the pastor's home. And they're just a small church, and maybe have 20 people, 25 people. And so they don't have a whole lot, but so we volunteered. They got the stuff there. We just volunteered the labor to try to do it. And I appreciate Joaquin taking time off of his job that he does. He's going to be the head knocker. He's going to be the head man. Me and Steve are going to be the gophers. And but I tell you, I appreciate my mother-in-law. She bought, you know, I have bad knees. She bought me the most high-dollar set of knee pads you can buy. They're full of gel. I mean, I'm telling you, I put them on at home the other day and got down on my knees. It was great. Problem is, I can't hardly get up. They don't have springs in them. So Joaquin, me and Steve do everything we can to help you. We'll stand over and go, "That looks good, Joaquin. You're doing a good job." So, no, we'll pitch in and help. We'll do our best. We want to help Brother Richard, such a precious man. All right, come on, Brother Brian.
All right, real quick, let me keep you up to date on what's going on around here. Be back for the evening service tonight at 5:30. Everyone is welcome. We'll have choir practice at 4:30, so all you choir members, make sure to be here on time so we can go over some songs for the evening service and for services to come. We had visiting yesterday, like the preacher said, our Sewing Saturday. We'll have it again 2 weeks from yesterday, so that'll be August the 4th on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We want all the men to come out if you can, to go knock on doors. The more men we have, the more ground we can cover, the more people we can reach with the gospel. So make sure you come here August 4th, 2 weeks from yesterday, for the next Sewing Saturday. And the other event coming up will be on August 12th. Now, August 5th, if as you know, most of you, is our official anniversary Sunday. We were founded on August 5th. But because of scheduling conflicts and things like that, we're going to have our celebration service for our anniversary on August 12th. That'll be, I believe that's 3 weeks from today. So just put that on your calendar. Make sure you're here. It'll be a special service. Invite people to come. We want people, we've been in this building now for 2 years, and we want people to know that we're here. And every day we go out knocking on doors, or every week we go out knocking on doors, and they'll say, "Yeah, I've seen your church out there. We saw you being built." So they know we're here. They just have to know we really want them to come. So get out there and invite people. And that anniversary Sunday is a good time to do it. August 12th, put it on your calendars, and we'll have a good time in the Lord that day.
Before Brother Tim comes to lead another song, that reminded me. You know, we've got a track challenge, and we've kind of died off on that thing. We got to get that thing going again. We really do. I don't know, Brother Shelton is kind of heading that thing up. And if you're giving out tracks, the most important thing, other than giving them out, which is the most important thing, of course, is to let him know how many you gave out. It's hard to keep count. You know, we have lots of tracks, so we don't number them, so we know who gets them. So if you get tracks, if you give someone a track, I don't care if it's one, if it's just one, then you need to let him know so that we can keep a count. That's the whole point of this thing. 12,000 gospel tracts this year. And so we need to update that number and get these tracts out. And you can do it anywhere, like when Steve and Joaquin and I are in New York, we're going to give out, we'll have opportunity, trust me. You give out 1,000 tracts on 7th Avenue in an hour. I mean, that's how many people are on the street, and that's not even downtown in Manhattan, that's in Brooklyn. And so we're going to be working, but any opportunity we have to be out on the street for any reason, we're going to hand out. Now, we're going to hand out Brother Richard's tracts because, you know, we're not going to hand out anchor tracts in Brooklyn. It's kind of a long commute for somebody to visit. And so, and that counts as long as you're getting the gospel out. So we're going to have that opera. I'm telling you, you can blink and give out 5 tracts in New York City and not even breathe hard. I mean, that's how quickly you can do that. So we're gonna have some of his available to do. And while you're here, the Brother Shelton, they're going to camp, but I don't, you know, of course, they'll be at a camp where tracks probably won't be necessary. But anywhere you go, Brother Steve and I went to service last week, and we actually went too early. So we went to Bojangles. You know, Brother Steve has stock in Bojangles. So we went to Bojangles. Well, while we were there, he handed out tracts to everybody. One family, Jehovah's Witnesses, and I thought they were going to beat Steve up there for a second, but he got away from there. But anywhere you go, now listen. And the idea is to put it in somebody's hand. That's the idea. Okay. So if you've given out, so let me just do this. We're just doing this. Please don't be ashamed if you didn't or you didn't give out a whole. It doesn't matter. But let's say for the last 2 weeks, if you can think about how many tracts you gave out, I want you to tell me right now, okay? Who gave out tracts that you could have a number? 6? 80. Okay? Okay. So, no, do you have a number? You can't put down a pack. All right. 10? Okay. 1? Okay. That's 20. All right. Who else? Yes. Go ahead. 44. Good for you. 2? Okay. Yes, ma'am. 30. All right. 16. 2? I thought you were saying victory. 2? Okay. That's good. Very good. All right. So what we'll do, because we try to keep a running total on our board up here so you'll have an idea how many have been given out. We're a little behind in the month of July, so this will help to sort of make that up. And we're really hoping that while we're in New York, we can give out a bunch and kind of help make up that difference as well. But listen, that's all it takes is just give them out and keep, if you get 50 tracks, you know you got 50. When you give all 50 of them out, then you come to Shelton and say, hey, I gave out 50. If you gave out 10 that week, we're trying to keep a running total. Number one, it keeps the count better. And number two, because your memory's better. And number two, it encourages other people to do it because as the total amount rises, we see that we're reaching that goal. And that's the whole purpose. Somebody said, well, why don't you set a lower goal? Well, you can set a low goal and hit it, but I think it's better, really, I think, in the spiritual work that we do, to set a high goal and miss it, but be working towards it. Remember what Jesus said? He said we're to strive for perfection. Now, that's not sinless perfection. That's maturity in the Lord. Well, we all know that you're probably not going to hit it the first time you try it because we're human. But we're to strive for it. You say, well, I missed the goal. Well, that's why Jesus said, keep doing it. Keep striving. So we've got all this year. We want to do 12,000 tracts. That means put them in somebody's hand. You know, we gave out 500 when we gave out those flyers the other day. But, you know, we didn't put them in people's hands. We put them in their paper boxes. So that doesn't necessarily count, although it does count in the eyes of the Lord. So don't misunderstand. All right, so be sure and do that and let Shelton know when you see him. Now, he'll be gone next week, but should be back next Sunday, of course. So keep a running total of how many you give out this week, and then see him when he gets back, you get here Sunday, just go up to him, say, hey, I gave out X number of tracts, and that'll be a blessing, okay? All right, God bless you. Come on, Brother Tim.
All right, number 78, take your hymnals again, and let's stand and sing When We All Get to Heaven, number 78. Sing out now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day! Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we
good singing. You can be seated.
Amen. All right, ushers, come on ahead. We'll take care of this morning's offering. Again, by the way, let me tell you why it's always important to come to prayer meeting. Those of you that weren't here Wednesday night missed a blessing. And the blessing is that God added to the church Wednesday night, Steve and Chris. Is it Stephen or Steve? Stephen. Okay, I want to make sure I do that right. Stephen and Christy Todd joined our church Wednesday night. We had the great pleasure to visit with them on Tuesday night. Had a great visit with them, and they so love the church and love everybody here. And they've been coming for quite some time. He works. Tell me again the name of the place. Correct Care Solutions. It's with the corrections office in the States. He travels all over the country to set up places in the corrections facilities. That's what his job is. He's 25 years retired out of law enforcement. So we appreciate his service. And then his wife, she's from Darlington. And buddy, I tell you, she's from Darlington. Amen. I loved it. When I first met Judy, I said, boy, I like to hear her talk. And Sister Christy's the same way, boy. She's just got that southern drawl. I like it. But anyway, so next time you speak to them, I know some of you didn't this time because you didn't know. Well, from now on, they're members now. Okay? So, just wanted to let you know. And by the way, isn't it amazing that God can do stuff like that on Wednesday night? Why? God doesn't save people and do things like that on Wednesday. Sure He does. And when you miss, that's the one you hate you miss. But anyway, glad you're here this morning. Father, we ask You now to bless the offering. Lord, as we give a portion of that which You've blessed us with, we want to be obedient. For the Bible said to obey is better than sacrifice. So, Father, I pray that our motive is not what we're going to get for doing it, but just because we love God and we're going to do it because He said to. And so, Father, I thank You for the way that You've blessed our church. Continue to bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to give a plug for this Wednesday night. I'm going to be speaking since Pastor will be out. He didn't say, will you preach? He said, will you do the lesson? He knows I'm a teacher. I'm not a preacher. And so I've worked on something. I've got some things going on. We're going to do a lesson from my luggage. You've got to be here to find out what it's about, though. All right, we have the Anchor Trio coming to sing for us.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ. And Brother John said He is precious, my leaning on His bosom. So for a moment, may we humbly testify. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I can see no
songs can be sung about God's Son. For there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all that the Savior has done.
Mention that I love Him, how I worship and adore Him. And when I can see the way,
He makes a way.
Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He's ever made me? I love Him.
That's all I want to say. And did I
mention He's been faithful to every promise He's ever made me? I love Him.
That's all I want to say.
Him. That's all we want to say.
Amen. All right, thank you, trio, for that. Well, been good singing this morning, but we are here to hear God's Word. Listen as the pastor comes.
Thank you, Brother Tim. I always try to know, and I appreciate Brother Tim. He's a good teacher, good man of the Lord. But man, when he says he's preaching out of his luggage, I'm going to have to meet with him after the service. Find out just what he's got in his luggage. Thank you, trio, for that good song. What a blessing that was. Well, the other day I was in my office, and sometimes folks will ask, you know, how do you come up with your messages? Well, first of all, it's got to be with prayer, most of all. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, I'll sit down to read my Bible in the morning sometime, and I'll say, Lord, if there's something in here I can give to somebody else, you need to show it to me. Sometimes it's personal things that He shows me that nothing other than just for me. Then there are other times when, boy, it's just like God just turns a light on. Well, this happened the other day. I was in the office praying and over some things, and I said, Lord, show me something in the Word of God. And I started reading the book, I, of course, reading in order, and I'm in the book of 1 John. I started reading 1 John, almost through with the New Testament. And I want you to turn there, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I mean, first word struck me. Steve used this word in his lesson this morning about Daniel. 1 John chapter 1, it's page 1321. If you have a Scofield Bible, if you don't have one, just go to Revelation and go backwards a few pages. John, 2 John, 1 John, of course Jude there too. But 1 John chapter number 1. And I want us to read right now. Let's stand to our feet, please, if you would, in honor to the Word of God. Look at the very first word, that. It's a regular English word, but it's like God said, hold it. That's what I want to help you with. I said, well, okay, Lord. So I took my little pad out. I just wrote the word that. I said, okay, Lord, here we go. I want you to look down. Well, read that verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, obviously, John is referring to Jesus Christ while he was alive. Remember, this is the John who rested his head on the bosom of Jesus. This is the same John Jesus gave the responsibility of caring for his mother after his death. This is the same John that was exiled to Patmos and wrote the Revelation. Look down at verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Go to chapter 2, verse number 13. The Bible says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Look at verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And go over to look at verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. And then look at chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible said, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Pray. Father, thank you for the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful, Lord, that whenever we sit down and open up the Word of God, that all we have to do is just say, Lord, what can you show me today? And the Lord is just like any grandparent who's proud of their grandchildren. Some visitor came into their home and said, do you have any pictures of your grandchildren? Why, the albums would fly off the shelves. The pictures would be brought out and pointed out. Why? Because someone asked a proud grandparent about their grandkids. Lord, as I prayed that day and said, Lord, could you show me something today? All of a sudden, all of heaven opened up and God began to show what he's so proud of. That's his Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so blessed and enjoyed putting this message together. I hope and pray that it'll speak to hearts here today, God. Hide me in the shadow of the cross. Let me decrease so that he can increase. Oh God, help me, Lord, never to place myself before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's this word we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach for just a moment on that word, but that phrase in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. I looked up and actually, when I was in college, I was an English minor. Oh, I enjoy English. I probably ought to speak it better than I do, but I do enjoy the language. So when I began to study this, the first thing I did was I thought about what does that word that mean? In the English language, the word that, along with other words like the or the, some, any, are what we call in the English language a determiner. If I said I have, or if I looked at Shelton's Bible there and I said, Shelton has book. If I didn't use Shelton's name, or if I didn't point, or if you didn't have a pretty good idea what book I was talking about in a church on Sunday morning, obviously it's not Sports Illustrated or the TV Guide. But if I said Shelton has book, number one, that's grammatically incorrect, and number two, it wouldn't tell you much. But then you'd have to either get up or at some point find out what book I'm talking about. But if I said Shelton has that book, all of a sudden now, you know, you understand that I am talking about a particular book. And by my wording of the sentence, I have helped you to determine what book I'm talking about. So in the English language, the word that, if I said, that's our piano, you now understand what I mean. That I'm not just pointing out we have one, but that piano is ours. Not only is the word part of the English language called a determiner, but it always is connected to the demonstrative. What that means is a lot of times the word that is used, so when someone is demonstrative, they're very overt. They're very outgoing. They're very succinct in their language. And so I might not say that's our piano. I might say that is our piano. That's the demonstrative. I want you to understand that not only am I pointing out something we have, but I am glad we have it. And I want to be, hey, when we go out and knock on doors, like Brian said, I say, I'm the pastor at Anchor Baptist Church. They say, oh, you mean the little, I said, yeah, that church that's up on the hill. That little white church on North Brickyard. Well, I want people to understand that I'm not just pointing out a building. I'm demonstrative in saying, that's our church. And so that's what caught my attention. Now, again, at that moment, I had no clue where God was taking me. You know, when you say, God, show me something, and he's in the process of doing that, he's not going to give you a heads up as he goes along. I mean, you just hold on till you get where you're going. And so, God has never, Listen to me. God has never decided on things as He is presented with them. In other words, God is not taken aback. So nothing occurs to God. And one of the things that we believe as born-again believers, as Baptists, is the foreknowledge of God. We believe that God knows everything already. Nothing occurs to Him. Nothing's going to happen that He might look to the Son or the Holy Ghost and say, you know, I didn't prepare for that. The foreknowledge of God knew, listen, I didn't know it, but God knew that Bobby was going to be here today. God knew that Frederick was going to be here. I didn't know it. I was outside making a call, and here he walked up. I said, you've been here before, hadn't you? And he said, yeah, at Easter time. Well, I didn't know he was coming, because I haven't seen him since Easter, but God knew he was coming. God knew you were coming. God knew the ones that didn't come. Nothing occurs to God. But the foreknowledge of God simply means, and this is connected to what I read in verse 1. Foreknowledge of God simply means that He and He alone knows everything about everything. Somebody can say they know about this subject or that subject. Talking to Travis a little while ago about his job over at International Paper. Well, you know, we can have small talk because I don't know the first thing about what goes on at International Paper except that's where they make paper. Right, brother? Right. So, he begins to talk about his job because he has the knowledge of it. But guess what? Even he doesn't know, Travis. Tell me if this is true. You don't know for sure what's going to happen on your job tomorrow, do you? If you could, it might make things easier or not. I don't know. But it would be nice if you could know something in advance, wouldn't it? Sure it would. But we don't have that authority. We don't have that power. But God, remember, we believe that God is omnipotent, meaning He's all-powerful. He is omnipresent, meaning that He's everywhere all the time. And He's omniscient, meaning that He knows everything. And by the way, even the devil can't make that claim. Only God can make that claim. And so, again, I want to reiterate that He and He alone. Now remember, here's what John said. That which was from the beginning. Now when you see that little phrase, and it appears four other times in the book of 1 John. And so you see that, and let me just say, and I don't normally do this, and this is not going to be habitual, but if I say that, which is from the beginning, what's the first thing many of you would think of? You wouldn't think of anything? This may not be as hard as it seems. But creation. That's right. What does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There you go. So you say, well, is this a creation message? No. Because this verse, John, in being led of the Holy Ghost and being very demonstrative and determined, point out who he's talking about wasn't just in the beginning, but the phrase from the beginning literally means before the beginning. Now for us, we can't use that kind of language. None of us were here before we were here. None of us knew we'd be here until we got here. But God said that. And we do not use the word that to describe a person. That is not a personal word. It's a demonstrative word. It's a determiner. But John is not just talking about God here. He's talking about the whole concept of who God is and where God came from and what He has been doing and what He is doing. And all of a sudden I begin to recognize that I am in the presence and I am being led in this little rinky-dink message, if you will, by the God who was here before we were here. This may not mean nothing to anybody but me. I'm going to preach it anyway. In our text, John is referring to that. As I said, we usually don't refer to people as that, unless you're mad at them. That husband of mine, that youngin, that boss, I hate that guy. Oh, and by the way, when you use that word, what is it doing? It's being demonstrative, isn't it? I love that fellow. You may say that once in a while, but not often. And by the way, that's right. In the lesson this morning, in the book, those presidents who accused Daniel before he was thrown into the den of lions, they said to the king, that Daniel. Like the king didn't know who Daniel was. He's the only Daniel there. But what were they doing? They were trying to put on him something that didn't belong. Well, let me say right here, John is trying to attach something to God that does belong. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, he is describing the gift that God gave us, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His blood. That's His atonement. That's His sacrifice. That is Him. John is attaching that word. He's being demonstrative. And he wants everybody to know that he's talking about the mother. In chapter 2, we find also he's being demonstrative with Satan's package. Yeah. Look what it says in chapter 2 and verse number 11. Chapter 2 of John, 1 John. It says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded their eyes." That darkness. Now, if you go out at night, somebody says, "Well, what's going on where you are?" Well, you don't say, "Boy, that's dark." You say, "It's dark out." But you know what? When Judy and I went into, was it in Arizona? I guess the cave, the mine we went into, you know, it's like all these other places, they take you down in there, got one little 60-watt light bulb, they turn the light out. And buddy, they'll tell you, say, now, the guy told us, said, when the light goes out, said, don't wander, don't even try to walk around. It was in a small place. He said, because you will not be able to see your hand in front of your face. And when they turned the light out, he was right. And so when we go out and talk about it, they say, man, I'm telling you, that was the darkest place. That was darkness. And people were getting antsy and kids were squalling because they were afraid of that darkness. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he is darkness. Buddy, one day, bless God, if you die without Christ, you'll go to a hell. It'll be dark, and you won't be. But who are you going to describe it to then? Everybody there is in the same place you are. So what are we doing? We're trying. John is trying to say, don't get involved in that darkness. Satan fell from heaven. You know the story in Isaiah 14. The Bible also said in Ezekiel 28, he was described as an angel of light. At one time, he had the light. Hey, he was the cherubim of God. He was in the presence of God himself. He knows what God looks like. And he fell. And when he fell, suddenly that light no longer meant anything to him. Now he is in that darkness. So you find that when Satan fell, he took on the characteristics. By the way, the fall of Satan happened before the creation of the world. It did not happen the day that God made Eden. It happened, read Isaiah 14. It happened before creation, before what we know to be creation. So you know what that means? Although Satan was created, he's not always been. He was created, but he was created before the beginning. And so he took on, he wanted to take on the characteristics of God. That was his whole problem. He wanted to be like God. Well, when God threw him out because he couldn't do it, and suddenly he takes on those evil, sinister characteristics. Jesus is God. God is the Father. He's love. He's joy. He's peace. I mean, you can just pick out any adjective in the Bible. But you can't say that about the devil. The devil took on characteristics that only describe him. You know what that devil is? Let me just give you this list. I copied this. I didn't make this up. I saw it and I said, I'm going to use it. He is that Satan. Listen to me. Is called Abaddon, the destroying angel. He's the angel of the bottomless pit. He's Apollyon, destroyer, accuser of the brethren, adversary, angel of light, antichrist, Beelzebub, Belial, crooked serpent, devil, dragon, enemy, father of lies, god of this world, great dragon, great fiery red dragon, liar, man of sin, murderer, old serpent, power of darkness, prince of the devils, prince of the power of the air, the roaring lion, the ruler of this world, Satan, serpent, son of perdition, tempter, thief, and wicked one. That describes that darkness. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you are following that. That is your best friend. That is your father, Jesus said, the devil. Now John said, I'm not talking about him. I just wanted to point that out. I'm talking about the one who has been and always been, even before beginning. From the beginning is actually translated before. Let me give you some scripture and I'll move ahead. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, who hath saved us, talking about the Lord, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus, ready, before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. John 17:24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. John 17:5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with thy glory, which I had with thee before the foundation of the world. In other words, John is not just talking about a God who's always been. He's talking about a Savior who's always been. He's talking about a Holy Ghost that's always been. And honey, I'm glad to report today we're sitting in his house worshiping him. And thank God, I'm glad I'm saved by a God who's been from the beginning. That God, that God, I'm glad to say, that God is my God. That Savior is my Savior. That Holy Ghost lives inside of me. Hey, that Bible is what I live by. And by the way, I hope I made it clear. That's what a demonstrative word does. It makes it pretty clear. I want to look real quickly at that verse 1, and we just got a few minutes. I want you to notice that is God. Who's John talking about? That is God the Maker. Spent some time there, so I won't spin my wheels there. We know that God is the Creator. It reveals His creation, reveals His almighty power. But I'm glad He's not just mighty, He's almighty. That means there's not another one bigger than Him. He didn't even have to use two L's in all. One's good enough. He's the Almighty God. It reveals His almighty plan. You know what it is? To save you from your sin. It reveals His almighty person. Because when it said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, no one else was involved in Him. He did it all by Himself. Of course, He had the Son and the Holy Ghost, but remember, they're all Him anyway. So that God is our Maker. Number two, that is Jesus, our Messiah. That which is from the beginning, John said. Hey, that's the one I put my head on His bosom. I heard His heartbeat at the Last Supper. I heard Him say, one of you will betray me. I heard Him as He was dying on the cross, and me and His mother were standing there weeping. And He said, Mother, behold thy son. And then He said, John, behold thy mother. In other words, I want you to be responsible for her. I want you to take care of her. Now, John was the beloved disciple. John could have been a great evangelist. John wrote the Revelation. But you know what John did? He was so into God being bigger than him that he said, I'll accept the responsibility. I'll give up my meetings. I'll give up my income. I'll give up everything. I'll take care of your mother. Many folks would give up everything to take care of their mother, their own mother, let alone somebody else's mother. So John said, that is the Messiah. That is the one I remember. The word Messiah means anointed or consecrated to the office of Redeemer. Thank God He is our Redeemer. Lift up your head. Redemption draws nigh. One day the Lord's coming. And by the way, that angel said, that same Jesus that you see go away shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go away. I've never seen Him, but I'm going to see the one that John said, that was from the beginning. Hallelujah. He's anointed to be our salvation. He's anointed to be our satisfaction. He's anointed to be our security. That wonderful Hebrews 13:6, so that we, the believer, may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Honey, nobody in this room can hurt me as long as God's with me. Buddy, my answer to you is that same Jesus. That Messiah, John said, that was from the beginning. God was before it ever happened, and so was Jesus. You say, how you know, preacher? Because John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That goes before the foundation of the Word. Then let me say, I got two more and I'm done. That is God the Maker. That is Jesus the Messiah. That is the Holy Ghost, our minister. boy, Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. And Jesus died and went away, and the Holy Ghost showed up on Pentecost. And by the way, He didn't just show up then. He just showed Himself then. He's been here from the beginning. Wait a minute, preacher, I got you now. You may have proved God was there. And Jesus, wait. The Bible said in that same creation experience, He said that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Here it comes. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God was there. Jesus was there. The Holy Ghost was there. Nobody else was there. You weren't there. I wasn't there. He even had to correct Job and let him know he wasn't there. The Holy Ghost was there. Now, once again, I'm looking out at this audience this morning, and I don't think I've helped a soul here, but I'm telling you, it's helping me. It's helping me. It's helping me. I'm glad that that which is from the beginning is the God I serve. That which is from the beginning is the Savior I love. That which is from the beginning is the Holy Ghost that I want to get filled with. Oh, I thank God. God fill me with the Spirit of God. You know, Anchor Baptist Church is not going to do anything without the power of God. And the power of God comes through the Holy Ghost. He's the convictor, we know, John 16:8. He's the comforter, we know, John 14:26. He's the counselor. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise. Oh, by the way, the reason I use that, if you've ever had to have a lawyer, you know what a lawyer will tell you first thing? Don't say anything to anybody. Why? Because they know the jargon. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know all that legal stuff. But you get a good lawyer who knows what he's talking about, and he can talk circles around the devil. He'll use the word, he'll use the most nonsensical jargon and win the case. That's what the Bible said about Jesus, about the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we shall say. And I tell you, I've been at the Lord's feet. I said, I didn't know what to say. And God would say, don't worry, son. I got the word from the Holy Ghost. I know what's going on. Listen to what it said. He said, for we know not what we shall pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself. The Spirit itself, the third person of the Godhead, the that was from the beginning, shall make intercession for us with groanings, words, with language that we cannot utter. God, I got something I want to say, but I don't know how to say it. And God says, I've already got it. That which is from the beginning that John talked about has already come to me, has told me what you need. Then he'll turn around and say, by the way, I'm going to do it for you. Hallelujah. I got to close. That is not only the God as our maker and the Jesus as our Messiah, Spirit as our minister. That is the Bible message. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I'll just read it to you quickly and we'll be through. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. I meant to write it down here so I can just give it to you, but I'll have to read it. So what the Bible said, it said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by constitution and bylaws. It comes by a book that someone wrote, a commentary. Oh. It comes, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by somebody else's opinion. Oh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, that which was from the beginning. For the Bible said, all of eternity, the Bible. Hey, the Bible has been around before they penned it. It's always been around. It's been around as long as God's been around. The best I can describe it is since before the beginning. It is the message of a sovereign Father. It is God's Word, isn't it? Is that what we call it? God's Word. It's the message of a sovereign Father. It's the message of a saving Jesus Christ. The Gospel. What will save you today. And it is the message of a seeking. John 6:44 says that unless the Father draw him, no man can come to Christ. But you know who's his representative, don't you? Since the Bible said God is a spirit and he hath not flesh and bone, guess we can't see him. And since Jesus came long before you and I were born and died, went back to heaven, we haven't seen him either. Wait a minute, preacher, I got you now because you can't see the Holy Ghost either. No, I can't, but I'm sure feel him. I know he's around. Amen. I felt him the day he pricked my heart about being lost. I knew something. Somebody was talking to me that wasn't a normal individual. Oh no. Oh no. Then the day I surrendered to preach, he was pricking my heart. Said, young man, I want you to preach. And I said, who am I? He said, it doesn't matter who you are. That which is from the beginning wants to use you. Boy, I went to the altar. And I've been trying to do it ever since. Poorly, I know. I've always trusted that which is from the beginning. I want to be just as demonstrative as I need to be. I love that Jesus. I'm going to serve that Jesus. Not another one. That one. One day, that Jesus is coming to get us. And we're going to get down on our hands and knees before Him. Put our arms around those nail-pierced feet. And say, it's Him! It's Him! That's Him! And everybody there will be shouting the same thing. That's Him! That every nation and tongue and language, the Bible said, will declare, it's Him! Aren't you glad you know that Jesus? Aren't you glad you've been saved by that God? Aren't you glad you can read that Bible? I hope I haven't been vague in what I've tried to preach. Once again, it may not mean a thing to you. I'm saying, help me. Boy, every day with Jesus, I want that Jesus to be in control of me. I want that Bible to be the first thing I see in the morning. I want that God to bless me. Give me just a little bit. I'll take a little bit, God. You don't have to give me a lot. Just give me a little bit. I'll do everything I can to tell folks like Bobby here and others. That God is the one who counts. Nobody else's God counts. Only that one. John said, I laid on His bosom. I'm telling you that which was from the beginning. He's the one that I want you to know about. Father, we love You today. Thank You for the message, and thank You, Lord, for giving it to me the way You did. I was in awe. I just started writing, and within a matter of just a little while, it was all finished. It's like God said, that's enough. Lord, I tried to give it like You gave it to me, and like I say, Lord, it may not mean as much to somebody else. Lord, I believe with all my heart that the moment I read that verse and read that word bad, it's like God said, it's a good place. Let's just go from there. So, Father, I pray that the message has been clear. That God, that Savior, that Spirit, that Bible, which was from the beginning. That's who I love, and that's who I want to worship. That's who I want to support, and that's who I want to tell people about. Because that's the one who's fed my family and put clothes on our back and shoes on our feet and wheels on our vehicle, gas in the tank, and a place to live. A good church to pastor and belong to. Good people to know and fellowship with. That's the God that I serve. I'm 59 years old. I've let a lot of days go by and I've wasted a lot of time. But by the help and grace of God, I'm always going to be ready to point out that God and that Savior and that Spirit and that message. Until the Lord comes back, and then I'll get to see that Savior face to face. Lord, help us all to commit ourselves to that God and that Savior. We love You and thank You for this fine opportunity. I may never get to preach another message ever again, maybe in heaven before the day is over. But I hope, God, I hope, God, I hope, God, that I did it justice today. I love You and thank You for all You do. Bless this moment of invitation. Before we stand to our feet, your heads are bowed. I wonder if you're not saved. That Jesus wants to save you today. That which was from the beginning wants to be your Savior. I wonder if there's someone here and say, preacher, I want that salvation. I want that which you were talking about. I'm telling you, I got a call this morning. That's where I was during Sunday school. I didn't have my phone with me. I was calling somebody, checking on them because they weren't here. And I saw my phone, a lady's name, and I didn't recognize it, but they left a message. My family will know who it is as soon as I mention the name. And this lady's on the phone and said, Preacher Rick. She said, this is Phyllis McCracken, lady that I pastored some years ago in Rock Hill. I'm talking about in the 80s and early 90s. And hadn't seen or heard from her in probably 30 years, I guess. 25 years or so. She had two little boys. Two little church boys. And she said, Preacher Rick, said, this is Phyllis McCracken. She said, I know it's about church time. She said, but I need you to call me. I'm desperate. I went out in the car and called her and told me some things about her boys and how in sin they are. And I said, Phyllis, I said, did you do all you could to keep those boys in the Lord? And she said, no, Preacher Rick, I didn't. I haven't done that. I tried just for a few minutes. This boy, Chris, the youngest one's really having some real problems and moving back here from Texas. And she said, well, I'll be with him Tuesday in the truck, moving back. But he said he needs counseling. And he said, Mama, I want to talk to Preacher Rick. I said, I'll be in New York. I said, I won't be back for a week. She said, well, we'll be riding home Tuesday. I said, you have him call me. I have my phone with me. So, Brother Joaquin, if we're in the middle of something and that boy calls me, I'll have to excuse myself a minute. I hope you'll understand. I don't know if I can help the boy or not. I don't know a thing about it. Oh, but that God that I serve can. That Jesus that I serve can. And that's the Jesus you need today if you're not saved. Is there someone here, say, Preacher, I need that salvation. Would you lift your hand so I can pray for you? Better yet, why don't you just step out and come on forward and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. That Jesus can do it. Not another Jesus, that one. The one I told you about. He's the only one who can. And then maybe there's someone here, you just need some help from that Jesus. That Jesus that can answer your prayer. That Jesus that can restore your joy. That Jesus that can restore the peace of God that you've let slip away because of sin. Or just plain old indifference. That Jesus can do for you what only that Jesus can. Will you come to the altar as we sing in a moment? I hope you will. And others of you may just have prayer requests on your heart, whatever it might be. That Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Father, please bless the invitation moment in Jesus' name. Come on, Brother Tim.